Hi, thanks for checking out Heroes in Our Midst. And what a good time to do it. I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop, and our guest today is one of the best defensive players in all of the CFL, Winnipeg Blue Bomber linebacker Adam Big Hill, or Biggie, as a lot of people call him. He made his professional debut with the BC Lions back in 2011. He's already been named the CFL's most outstanding defensive player three times. He spent some time with the New Orleans Saints of the National Football League, and now he and his family call Winnipeg home, where, in the last 2 years, he has been a major part of the Blue Bombers winning two Grey Cup championships back-to-back. And while that's all pretty heroic stuff, our whole aim in starting this Heroes in Our Midst podcast was to get to know people like Adam from the inside out. And Adam's got a great story to tell. So, thanks to Elite Sports Injury, we get to share it with you. Elite Sports Injury, with five locations in Winnipeg, they are here when we need physiotherapy or massage therapy. Your body's worth it. Make the time for yourself. Hey, consider this time for yourself. Well, okay, not quite just for yourself. It's you, me, and Adam Big Hill. And at the time of our conversation, their record was 10-2. At the time of dropping this episode, they are 14-2. Needless to say, it's a really good year to be a Bomber.
Yeah, absolutely. We're off to a pretty darn good start, and 3-for-3 against Calgary is always good. Labor Day Classic and Banjo Bowl right here on deck. So, energetic time of the season. It's time to really crank it up and keep it going.
Well, just by watching you, I think some of us would think we kind of know how driven you are and those kind of things. But what about your story? Where did Adam Big Hill begin? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Montesano, Washington, which is a coast, small little town, about 45 minutes southwest of Olympia. It took us about an hour and 40 minutes to get to Seattle-ish, kind of as reference. So really about 30, 40 minutes from the beach. A pretty small little area. Graves Harbor is the county we lived in, and economically, it was timber and agriculture were kind of the two main drivers. And, you just had these small towns every 10 miles as you go down the road, and same thing, right? So we had a small town, about 5,000 people. That's where I grew up.
And was football a big deal for you from when you were little, or were you playing all the sports, or how did you get started in sport?
Yeah, no, I've played sports, all sports, from a very young age. My parents said they could tell I was a pretty active guy and pretty furious and fearless as well. So I'd be running across the room, I guess, tackling my uncles and my parents at full speed at two. So they knew that I wanted to do something of that nature. And they always said, growing up too, they said I was pretty natural at everything I did, whether it was anything with a basketball or throwing a ball or hitting a ball or playing video games and eye-hand coordination. They said that I was just really natural at it. So, I enjoyed playing sports at a young age. I played all the sports. Basketball and baseball and football were my favorites, early on. And it was really when I was 7 years old, I told my parents I wanted to play professional football.
Wow. So you had big dreams as a little kid.
Yeah, as I think hopefully most do. Mm-hmm. That's where I was on record for saying, what I wanted to go out and do.
So did they sign you up right away? Did they have any reservations? I mean, you were already tackling your uncles and stuff, so they weren't probably too worried about how you'd handle yourself.
Yeah, that was after my first year of playing football. I think I played one season early in first grade. I was able to play tackle 1 year earlier and just really enjoyed it. So that's kind of where, my starting to play the game and love for the game started at that age, and playing tackle football in first grade.
So did coaches then identify and sort of say, this kid is going to be something special?
It was that first year I played offensive and defensive line just, as a new guy. The next year I was still playing offensive and defensive line, but the interesting thing, the next year I was also the backup quarterback, because they knew that I was relatively smart and I understood what was going on, and if something happened they needed to have somebody. So our quarterback ended up going down with some sort of little injury, and so I had to go in and run the offense, and they called quarterback sweep right, and sure enough ran 80-yard touchdown, and then the next time the quarterback sweep left, it was 45-yard touchdown, and the rest of the game went that way, and the rest of the season, the new quarterback, and then that's when kind of going forward, they're like, "Hey, you're going to play running back, and you're probably going to be a linebacker." And they didn't know at that point, like, this kid's NFL or CFL material, but you knew that I was something special at that point.
And like in the States, like, in Canada, like, hockey's crazy when you're really little. Is it different in the States, growing up in the States?
Yeah, it's quite a bit different. There's just more love for sports. I would say, like, the development nature of hockey here in Canada, it's hard to touch that when it comes to, no matter where you go in the world, for how that structure is already in place and how they are working with kids is so young, and paying for their kids to be playing at such a young age and get great coaching. It's hard to rival that, but when it comes to all the other sports, there's nothing quite like it when you're in the States. Like, just all the other sports are just definitely played at a higher level at a younger age, usually because there's more participation, and there's a lot better coaching in general, which gets the kids learning and developing a lot faster. And then also just generally, there's more football on in the States generally, and kids love it.
Yeah, kids love it. And I feel like, too, like, having played in the Canadian sports system, when you look down at the States, you're kind of going, oh, my word, there, someone's paying for something. There's a lot of sponsorship. A lot of people are really putting some importance into youth sports.
Yeah, and I think it's just awesome because sports provides such an amazing opportunity for people, not just like as in getting scholarships and the opportunity to get your school paid for and or even play pro, but along the lines of all the great things that you learn when you play sports, all the life lessons and all the really key character developing traits that you want, you really can trace that back to learning from sports. And it's just, that's why I value sports as being so important for our communities. And the States has been doing it right for a long time.
Yeah, that's cool. We can always learn to be better, and that's awesome to know. Now, okay, so youth football's going great for you. You're doing well. The coaches are loving you. You're having success. So you get into the higher levels, maybe of what, high school? Lead us more into your story, and how did it go for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, Friday Night Lights was really the big deal in where I come from. Everyone, town of 5,000 people, and, somehow there's 6,000 to 7,000 people at the games on Friday nights. Just, massive games, and you got just that that aura of a Friday Night Lights. The businesses are, everyone's showing up, and I just remember watching that as like an eighth grader and be like, wow, next year that's my opportunity to be a part of that. And so, yeah, getting into high school, and my sophomore year is my first year I was playing varsity. So I started on offense and on defense as a sophomore, which is very rare to do for where I was coming from, but that's where kind of it all started. And I was making my fair share of plays and adding to the team how I could and really starting to elevate myself. I mean, for me, there was a lot of just goal setting that I did to somehow keep me on track. It's not like if you don't hit your goals, you're off track, but at least gave me things to shoot for and aim for. And I wanted to be like all conference player on offense and defense. And my sophomore year, I was able to do that. I even got honorable mention all state in my sophomore year as well. And then so junior year was, wanted to do more. Okay, I want to be all state this year. And defensive player year, offense player year, I was able to do those things. And then, kind of just keep going through, all this goal setting. And by my junior year, my coach was new to that. I was likely to be playing at the next level somewhere, just didn't know where. And, the goal was for me to play as big as college I could and get my schooling paid for. And, fast forwarding through my senior year and doing so well, and, just going to a smaller school, having less exposure, being a little bit undersized, it just didn't really help me that much for recruiting. I had recruiters coming by saying from Washington State University, D1 program, well, if he was 2 inches taller, we'd give him a full ride scholarship, right? So that was kind of a common theme. And that was a bit frustrating and tough to hear. I went to some of these invite-only select combines on the West Coast that you got to be a premier player in the region to be invited to. And, I was named a top performer at these combines where they measure ability, and, skill didn't quite get me over the hump. As, I signed to Central Washington University, Division II school, and so that didn't mean I was getting all my schooling paid for, but I was getting some of it. And but for me, I figured that if you're good enough, the NFL or whatever, they'll find you wherever you're at. So I went to Central to go make a name for myself, and I was able to. I started as a true freshman, and was able to get freshman awards for my conference and stuff like that, and just really just kept hitting the ground running and still setting goals and just working extremely hard and staying disciplined, staying focused on the things that I want to achieve. And I remember I played with Mike Riley in college. He played the same college as I did. I remember when he was leaving and he was getting drafted. I remember there was an interview that came out of like, oh, who else on your team do you think has the opportunity to play pro? And, I was way younger than him. I was just finished a freshman year, and he'd named my name in an interview. And I thought that was pretty awesome, just like for someone else to recognize that, and for knowing me for a short amount of time, it was pretty special. So that was pretty cool. And so I mean, just kept working hard throughout the college ranks, and was ended up being a Division II All-American and getting an opportunity to play professional. I mean, I came out about the worst time possible. In 2011, there was the NFL lockout. So if you weren't drafted and you didn't get picked up right away out of the draft, then the NFL, there was no business. So, that's where I actually took my first CFL workout with the BC Lions, and almost the rest is history. I mean, they signed me, invited me to camp, and I had to go earn a spot. In training camp, nobody knew who I was. Media thought I was an early round cut. They didn't expect me to make it past the first game, and sure enough, made the team and surprised everybody. And but for me, I guess it's the bit of the story has always been, just give me an opportunity and I'll make the most of it. Because I do feel that when the opportunity comes, I've already worked so hard to shine in that moment that I'll take advantage of it. Not like, okay, when you give me the opportunity, now I'm going to start working really hard so I can try to make the most of it. It's, well, the work's already been done. So give me the opportunity and I'll see what happens. So, that's kind of been the way it's always worked. Even in high school, when I got my first starting job, they, spring camp, we went and played all these other teams. I got to run the ball a few times, and that turned into some really good carries, touchdowns, and they're like, hey, give them the ball more, and it's just the way it goes. You make most of your opportunities, and good things happen. So
Amazing. Just that undersized part of sport is a it's a big deal for a lot of kids and a lot of athletes coming up. And there's always those that overcome it. What kept you going though through that? I mean, you're getting all these awards, and that's the thing. I think sometimes in sport, it's confusing sometimes as an athlete. You're winning championships, you're winning games, you're being named outstanding, and yet they say, yeah, but the next level, the 2 inches makes the difference. What kept you going? Or did that kind of not faze you? Talk us through a little bit of the emotion of some of that. When you sort of the NFL was sort of saying, well, if you're a little taller, you'd be in.
yeah, I mean, that stuff was, it's definitely frustrating, but at the same time, the things that I focus on, you can't focus on things you can't control, your height, how big your hands are, how long your arms are. But I can control all the other things when it comes to me being an athlete. I can relatively control how fast I am, how hard I hit, how well I can catch, how well I can play the run, how well I can get off blocks, how well I can identify the play, how smart I can be to put myself in position to play even faster, how well I can cover other people. So I really just had this mindset, okay, well, I already know that I'm undersized. Like, I don't need them telling me there's a one other reason why we don't want to pick you. So basically my mindset was have no weaknesses, right? Be the best at every aspect of the game that pertains to me as a football player, and there's nothing they can say, there's nothing they can do. They have to, this guy can play, like he plays consistently, He doesn't get beat. He makes plays. So what can you say to that? Yeah, he's 5'10 and a half, but he makes plays. So that's just kind of what I focused on. And honestly, it kind of, you know, like I said, when I was 7 years old, I said I wanted to play professional football. You know, in the high school, like when decision making becomes real for teenagers, like every choice either is going to help you or hurt you along your journey. And so for me, like being dedicated to my goal and what I wanted to achieve, for me, it was really, if I don't make it to the next level of college or even the pros, like I want it to be because I just, you know, I just wasn't quite good enough. Not because I didn't do everything I could along the way to give myself the opportunity. So I didn't want to have any regrets. And that's why, you know, I sacrificed so many things and why I worked so hard and put in so much time, you know, because that in my mind was going to give me the opportunity to be successful. And I always thought that if I outwork you, then I should win. I don't care how good you think you are, but if I outwork you day in, day out, and consistently, I expect to win. And I've always been a very competitive person, and I love winning more than anyone probably, but I honestly, like, I'm just willing to earn the win. You know, that's really it. I'm willing to put in more work. I'm willing to go through more pain. I'm willing to suffer more than you so that I can beat you every single time. And that's kind of the differentiating factor, I think, for me and maybe other people that were close or didn't make it or, you know, just what have you. It's just that I was willing to do more. I mean, I remember when the college scouts came in and talked to my coach and said, well, if he was 2 inches taller, you know, my coach was, you're measuring the wrong thing. You need to be measuring his heart and what he's willing to do to be the best that there is, right? And so I think that for me is one of the biggest difference makers. I mean, there are plenty of stories that, you know, kind of back that idea up. I mean, for example, I wasn't the fastest player in high school on my junior team. When I was a junior, I wasn't the fastest player. But our coaches had us running a competition where you run, everyone lines up in the line, you run 40 yards. The last five people get eliminated and they have extra conditioning to do. And you do this all the way until the end, until there's a winner. Like there's probably four guys that were faster than me. But I won this 40-yard back-to-back race event because I was willing to go more and push harder and feel more pain. And while not being the fastest, and that was definitely an indicator for myself. I remember being like, I'm not the fastest, but I just won this event. And it just tells me that, like, people aren't willing to work as hard as me. And when you work hard, good things happen and you will overcome, you know? So, I mean, just a great example of putting the work in and really going harder and more than anyone else.
You have a huge confidence in your training. And I know from a background in sport, you know, I've heard coaches say, trust your training, but not nearly all players understand that. Did you have someone in your sort of your life college-wise, was your college coach like that, really explaining to you that if you do the training, you can trust it? Or was that something innate in you that you always just felt?
Well, I did have a really good high school strength coach that gave me lots of confidence and tools. I mean, I started training daily at ninth grade and, you know, just consistently working on getting bigger, faster, and stronger. And never, no one ever said, you know, trust your training, but just said, put the work in, get bigger, stronger, faster, you know? And for me, that was just the goal. And, you know, my sophomore year, I was 165 pounds. And by the time I was a senior, I was 200 pounds. So, you know, I was able to add on mass over the years and do it in a way that was functional and athletic. And, but that was through kind of the work. And so once again, I kind of had that self-realization that once again, like the work I'm doing is going to be more than you, whether it's weight room, whether it's film study or running and conditioning, all of this work I'm working harder than you, I should win. So that was my realization that I was going to trust my work and be confident in my work so I can go out there and perform.
Yeah, love that. Let's talk about your time with the BC Lions. I mean, you get onto a team like that. I mean, you're in the CFL. You've surprised some people. You've made it onto that team. But anytime you make it on a team, even fans that are watching, we see, you know, even from game to game, the lineup can change if it has to. Talk about, well, you had some big time competition on that team to even be on the field. Talk about your time in BC and what that was like for you.
Yeah, well, once again, I was coming in having improved myself in 2011. I was on the practice squad for a third of the season without being really able to get on the roster and prove myself. It was kind of waiting in the ranks for an opportunity. And, you know, an opportunity did come up because, you know, been working for it and, you know, someone else wasn't working and, you know, said, hey, here's this guy who's ready to take this step and let's give him a shot. And so, you know, that year we ended up winning the Grey Cup. I played 12 games of that regular season and I led our team in special teams tackles while missing a third of the season. You know, I think that was a good highlight there. And, you know, there was a talented group of linebackers that were on that team. And, you know, it was tough to make that team out of training camp as is. I mean, they really just needed one guy and I was ended up being that guy. And, you know, so I got a few defensive snaps that year, not a ton, mostly specials. You know, 2012, fast forward, Solomon, Ella Mimmins trying out for the NFL. There's an open spot in the offseason. I said, that's my spot. I'm going to go win that spot. You know, like I know it. And so coming in the training camp, you know, as expected, there's a battle for this spot. And the Lions at this point had another linebacker, a Canadian kid, James Yerchuk, and were deciding if they wanted to play a Canadian at that spot or an American. And CFL, obviously, you've got to make those determinations on your roster, who you want to play, how you want to play, and it's a big deal. So I didn't know if I was structurally going to be able to not play based on the way the roster had to be set, mm-hmm. or if I actually had an opportunity to win the spot. But either way, I was playing like it was mine. And throughout training camp, you know, and preseason games, I had played well enough that I think they decided there's no way we cannot play him at middle linebacker. So, I think it was like second preseason game. I think I had a pick six and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's just a good showing. Once again, the opportunity came, was prepared for it. And 2012 was my first year starting in the CFL and had a defensive player of the year effort. You know it was a really good season for me. It was playing around a lot of great people and some great coaching, and it was a breakout season for me. That's kind of where people started to know who I was.
And you never stopped the hard work, obviously. How do you maintain that attitude even to this day, because you still play exactly the same way?
Yeah, I know. And when I became a pro and I realized I had reached my dream of playing professional football, you know, I had to set new goals of like, okay, well, now I need to be the best in the league. And maybe I should also think about maybe being the best to ever play, one of the best to ever play the game. And so, you know, those were kind of the things that were on my mind. It's just the work never stops. As you become a pro, you learn to work in other areas that you need to focus on more, and you just become smarter with how you work as well, and you know where you put your energy, because just the details of playing pro, they get a lot smaller and they're not as big. So that you got to focus on the littler, smaller details of, you know, really maximizing sleep and diet and training and stretching, and just resting and all these things. And you got to just focus on all the little things that much more. And for me, it's just, once again, like I was always willing to put in the work to be the best. And, you know, that's the way I still am. And I feel like that's why I've, once again, always had the level of success as I do, is because I come prepared every single day and I try to get better every single day, whether it's practice or an off day. I still try to find a way to get better every day. And, you know, that's what gives me confidence that I can go out there and do the things I want to do and play this game as long as I want to play it, because I put in the work.
I love that. Now you got a taste of the NFL 2017, right? I mean, you got a taste of it, and maybe walk us through how that went. New Orleans, tell us what happened.
Yeah, so I got the opportunity in 17 to go down to the Saints and try to do what I did when I came in the BC Lions and earn a spot. You know, when I'd signed, they were deeply hurting need for linebackers. And after I'd signed and then came NFL free agency, they went and signed a couple big names in free agency and, you know, tied up a handful of dollars, which I kind of knew going into it was not great. And I didn't know anything about the politics of the NFL. And I honestly, I didn't even care because for me, it's once again, give me opportunity, I'll take advantage of it, I'll play. I'll show you that you need me on the field. And the NFL, you know, it's just kind of a fast forwarding. That was the first time in my career, in my life, that it's never worked out. Where you go in, you take advantage of opportunity, you make a bunch of plays, you prove that you can be on the field and you should be the guy, but you're not the guy.
Yeah.
So that was tough for me because it's never happened. I just figured that NFL is full of the best football players. You want the best playing on the field. If I prove that I'm one of the best, why am I not on the field? You know, like, it was very confusing. And it just kind of came back to the way you talk to guys and you learn, you listen. And my agent tried to warn me, like, what kind of signing bonus did you have? Where were you drafted, or were you drafted? What school you went to? There's a bit of pedigree in politics and things behind it. So it's one of those things that the business of the NFL was a little bit too big for me, I feel, to be able to stick and to play. I mean, I spent the year there on practice roster and on the active squad. I played 3 games, so I mean, I spent the entire year there. And you know, even though it was a frustrating time from not being able to play, even though I felt like I earned the right to play and deserve the right to play and have the film that I could play in that league for a long time and in my mind be a Pro Bowler. Like, for me, that was frustrating, but I did learn a good amount of things from the linebacker position from a coach I had down there, Mike Nolan, who was our linebacker coach. He's a phenomenal coach. He'll probably be in the Hall of Fame someday. And so, I mean, coming away from it, I mean, there's great experiences to be had from it, a lot of personal growth from it. And, you know, when I was released, I had the opportunity to go to Tampa or Indianapolis. And based on contract-wise and signing bonuses, what they were and were not willing to do, I decided, you know what, I don't need to chase this down here in the NFL when, you know, I prove what I can do. And you know, so I felt comfortable coming back up to the CFL, and that's when I came to Winnipeg. So, you know, I was able to make my peace with, you know, the NFL just not being for me, you know, or whatever reason, I didn't have the right opportunity and timing. And I was okay with that just because, you know, I just had my daughter born and, you know, a second child. And, you know, I was just looking for, you know what, this, I don't need to be signed, release, move around the NFL. I want a little more stability back and come back to the CFL where, you know, I know that they look at performance and production, you know, and then Winnipeg signed me and came back and we had a pretty good year, a couple plays away from a great cup. And then, you know, it was able to win defensive player of the year. You know, I mean, I don't know how many guys come back from the NFL and win a major award or have all stars. And, you know, so that was another thing I wanted to prove that, you know, like, I'm only getting better, and coming back from the NFL has only made me better.
What a great story, though, too, to bring that back from that experience. I mean, you touched the NFL. You really saw for yourself what that would turn out to be for you. And still, your sort of your mantra of doing what you can with what you can control, you stayed true to that. And we are so happy you came back to Winnipeg, man. Like, if you hadn't left, you wouldn't have come back to Winnipeg. So, here you are in the Bombers, and the Bombers are flying, and you're obviously a big part of that. And tell us a little bit, what's it like being with the Bombers right now? I mean, the atmosphere must be great. Mike O'Shea's great guy. He's been one of our guests here on our podcast, and listening to him is inspiring in itself. And he talks so much about team and all of that, and just the whole attitude behind the team. Maybe speak to that yourself. And what role do you see yourself playing? I mean, obviously, you're a leader on this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time to be a Bomber for sure. But I mean, it's just, a part of the culture that's been built here for a long time. I'm sure Osh probably talked about it when he was on, and it didn't happen overnight. And you got to get the right guys in the building that do things the right way, and really the right way. And in my mind, it's always been about work. Mm-hmm. You have to work, you have to work, you have to work, you have to compete, and you have to build a culture that's built on that. And when new guys come in, they will see how everybody operates, and it's just the program starts to run itself from that aspect now, where it's just expected, and the standards and the bar has been set. And, you know, so, I mean, the things we talk about, you know, obviously team, physicality, clean game with penalties, and football IQ and being smart on the field. And, you know, there's some things you can develop within players and some things you can't, you know, like the physicality portion. Players are usually going to be physical or not. This depends on their nature and who they are. And, you know, Winnipeg, we generally look for more physical guys to bring on our team. And, you know, football IQ, we're always trying to make people smarter who come in the building. We always point out, you know, learn from other teams' mistakes so we don't have to make the same mistakes. And, you know, that comes from, you know, penalties wise and making mistakes on the field or situations, you know, and team, like, The guys who you brought in, once again, kind of who have been here, the veterans know what team is all about and what work is all about. And it's just all of those things together is what creates a very successful environment in my mind for what we are being able to accomplish week in and week out. And sure, we can be better and there's a lot to improve on still yet, but we're operating at a very high level and we are getting better every single week. And to me, that's a major key of being a good football team, and even a great football team, is improving every single week. So, yeah, it's no accident why we're here, but you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and those are some of the ideas and some of the things for people to understand. I mean, the day starts at 9, ends at 1:30. Guys are here anywhere from 7:30 to 3:30. You know, like, on their own, they're coming in early, staying late, doing more. You know, I usually get in around 5:45, and, you know, so I'm in early. And when you have a lot of guys that do that, it's special. You know, like, other teams have been, you know, those Lions, you know, you had majority of guys walking in at 8:55 a.m. for the meeting at 9 and leaving at, you know, 2:15. So, like, the more guys around, the more guys are doing their own work, the more guys are watching film, the better. Culture here has been pretty incredible.
Culture, it's such a great example for all of us. Cultures, we can even implement that in our own workplaces, in our own families, in our relationships. Future for Adam Big Hill. How long do you think you'll play? Are you just going to play as long as you love it? Football's a tough, tough physical game, tough on your body. And gosh, the way you've approached it, keeping that hard work every single day. I mean, that's an exhausting way to go, the best way to go. But how long do you think, do you have any idea, or are you just going to take it year by year?
Yeah, I mean, I think I could play a few more for sure. I mean, I feel like I'm 25 the way I take care of my body. And, you know, so I feel like I got a lot more in me. I still love the game, enjoy the game, and enjoy competing. Like, I don't even know what it would feel like not to be able to do what I do right now. You know, I mean, I am preparing for life after football, you know, to some degree. I mean, you know, I am a licensed financial advisor. You know, I am building another business outside of football. And, you know, when I'm done playing football, I want that to be a nice clean transition for me to kind of step into. And but I don't want that to be now. And, you know, it's just one of those things that keep playing and see how she goes. I mean, I feel great and having a lot of fun.
Well, it's great news for those of us who are big fans. And if someone didn't know you before, we certainly know you now. And what a great story you have. We have some rapid fire questions I want to ask you. We get to know you even a little bit better. You are 100 years old. What is the story you most love to tell?
Oh, man. Well, this Grey Cup run stories are pretty good stories. You know, in 2011, we won the Grey Cup with the Lions. We started 0-5 and were able to get a first round bye and win a Grey Cup and overcome all the odds. That was a pretty crazy story. You know, the Grey Cup in 2019, where, you know, quarterback issues, injuries, you know, new personnel, guys coming in and finding a way to go in on the road, 3 games in a row, win a Grey Cup, pretty special. You know, and then, you know, it's the birth of my kids too. It's pretty, my first one, AJ, he was about 18 hours of labor. We made it to the hospital, all good. And but my second one, Leah, we didn't make it to the hospital. We had to deliver her at home. Yeah, like 45 minutes of warning. And our third one, Bo, yeah, I delivered him as well in here in Winnipeg. It was about, once again, like 25 minutes of warning there. So those are pretty crazy stories that you don't forget.
It's crazy. Sounds like your wife's an overachiever as well. She's got that figured out. Oh, you, yeah, well, now you know how to deliver babies too.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are incredible stories. Amazing. Okay, so who or what do you think people see when they see you? And is there something different you wish they would see?
Yeah, that's a good question. People probably see me as is always fairly serious and focused and driven, and I am. And like I just don't spend a lot of like downtime not doing something productive. So, you know, where guys might be spending more time chit chatting, hanging out together, you know, I'm probably finding something to do, whether it's a weight room or stretching or film or so. I just tend to have less downtime, and I don't know, I think it definitely sees people see me as maybe a little bit more focused in other areas, and as and, but I am fun too. You know, I can be fun. Like I just, you know, when it's time to work, I'm working. I guess, you know, people make sure they see me as fun too.
Absolutely. What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
Surprised to know about me. My second favorite sport and sport that I probably would be playing professional if it wasn't football, it'd be soccer.
Really?
Yeah, I was a really good soccer player in high school as well.
Cool. What exhausts you?
My kids.
Good answer.
training, sprints, conditioning, working out. It's like an expected, you know, exhaustion and fatigue and but like just the way kids go nonstop and here and there and you know, messes and moving from one thing to the other, and you know, like you can't keep up with them, and that is becomes mentally exhausting. That turns into physically exhausting. It's like you're up after them all over the place and trying to get them tied down to doing something, and or this, you know, working on learning and doing different learning books, and you know, some of the stuff just gets exhausting.
Next question. What energizes you?
What energizes me? I get pretty energized by people's stories succeeding, or people just in general pushing themselves, or you know, seeing other people work hard or stay focused or committed to something. You know, that energizes me pretty good. And you know, in general, I do like being around people. So in general, just having, you know, meeting somebody new or having a discussion to just learn more about somebody maybe I know or somebody I don't know, like that always does give me good energy as well.
Awesome. What was a moment of intense joy that you have experienced in your life?
Yeah, probably the number one would be like winning a Grey Cup. Was the first thing probably that I'd done that was like the most joy. It was the first championship I've ever won. Came close in high school and college, and then really just, you know, having my kids being born or be the next ones that are just, you know, I don't know how you can top Grey Cups and kids. I don't know how you can top that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You've had some pretty great moments for sure. Who are two or three people who influenced you and how did they impact your life?
Yeah, I'd say definitely my dad was a good influence for me. He always said, if you're going to do anything, do it to be your best. And that could be in sports, that could be in school, that could be, you know, if someone asks you to do something, you know, pick something up or clean your room, like just do it to your best, and you'll always be in good shape. And he always taught me that you can do anything you want in life, just put in the hard work and put in the time. And so, you know, he always expected me to follow through and to do my part as a part of a team, or and be reliable and those things, and you know, so he taught me some really good life lessons and values that And really the belief in myself that if I worked hard enough, I could be a professional football player. I mean, that really came from him, and he was right. So and that was really the goal, is once again prove that if I worked hard enough, anything was possible. And so he was definitely one. And then high school coach, like I said, my strength coach I had, and my high school football coaches I had, they were all collectively really good leaders. They were really good motivators. They cared deeply about the kids they were working with and the success of everybody. And I remember our head coach, like when I really started to figure out like more about life, was like, listen, like our ultimate goal here is to win a championship, but even more than that is that when you're done with this program, one, we hope that you will have left at a better place, and two, that you will become a better man for being here and playing in this program. And that's the biggest goal we have for everybody. So, it was more than just football. It was, becoming a good person, and doing things the right way, and all of the hard work that you do within the program is a building block of all of that. And I thought that, without that, I mean, I don't know what it would be like without that. So, those are, some strong motivators for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just to end, this isn't one of our rapid fires or anything, but it came to mind, like when you share your story, and you've obviously shared your story before, it's so inspirational, and that hard work piece is huge. But is there something in particular you hope someone who hears your story walks away from it remembering?
Yeah, a lot of things really. But that it's never going to be easy. Nothing that you want is ever going to be easy, or else it's not going to be that special. It's just my story. Like I go and talk to schools and talk to kids, and I tell them how to be successful and how I've done it, and it's nothing about anything other than how much work you want to put into it, and that's really in my mind it. Like, how am I being able to achieve what I've been able to achieve with, being undersized, going into a smaller school, and all this kind of stuff. It really comes down to how bad you want it. And I basically leave them with this, saying that there are no excuses now. You've heard what it takes to be successful. You can't come back to me in 3 years and say, I did not know. Maybe you did not know before, but now you know. Now go do something with it, And, for me, I think that's it's an important part of the message in my story, is that, with all the things that were stacked against me, how did I do it? Like, you guys just heard it, and there's obviously more details within it, but those are the nuts and bolts of getting it done, and it's out there for anybody to go get, right? That's the most important thing. And it's not just sports. It could be in any profession, in any field that you want to learn in. The principles all still apply. And I just believe there's so much potential inside of people if they want to unlock it, like how great you really can be if you decide to go there. I think that's one of the most interesting things about us as humans, is what are you really capable of, and I just want to see more and more people reach that.
Awesome. Well, listening to you gets us one step closer to that. Man, thanks so much for sharing your story. You talk about having opportunity and grabbing it. Well, we had this opportunity, and I'm so glad we were persistent and grabbed that time with you. It's been incredible. What a great story you have. And we're going to enjoy watching you even more if that's possible on the Bomber football field. And we're so glad you're on our team. So thanks for doing that.
Got it. Thank you.
The heart of the defense for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, showing up early every morning and working to make everyone around him better every single day. That is Adam Bighill. Thanks so much to Elite Sports Injury for getting this episode of Heroes in Our Midst to so many. Elite Sports Injury, with 5 locations in Winnipeg, they are here when we need physiotherapy or massage therapy. Your body's worth it. Make the time for yourself. I hope you enjoyed your time listening to today's story. And if you did, make sure you tell your friends about us. Share it with them. Follow us. Subscribe to our channel. Head to our website, drtoogood.com. And you will find many more stories just like this one. I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop, always looking for more great heroes in our midst. We'll see you soon.